Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany, also known as the baptism of our Lord. It's the Sunday each year that we hear stories about Jesus' baptism, and it's one of the four official dates each year that we offer the sacrament of holy baptism. And so today, we will be baptizing Pearl Sung-in Charlotte McCullough and welcoming her into the household of God. And while I can't be 100% sure that the heavens won't open up and the Spirit of God won't descend like a dove, alighting upon her before the voice of heaven speaks to us all, I do know that the sacrament that we will partake in, the ritual that we will enact, will be as much for Pearl as it will be for all of us here today. Just as it was as much for those who were gathered by the river as it was for Jesus a few thousand years ago. The baptism of Jesus is found in each of our four canonical Gospels. The fact that it occurs in all four is a strong testament that Jesus being baptized by John really happened. As often happens in Scripture, there are slight variations in each account. And yet, I believe the differences serve to open up for us the mystery of this event. It is only in Matthew, whom we read today, that we find the conversation between Jesus and John prior to his baptism. And it is only in Matthew that when the sky is rent open and a dove descends, that the voice of heaven is heard by all. The crowd witnesses, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased," versus the proclamation found in both Mark and Luke, which reads, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Or even what is found in John, merely a brief statement of the testimony from John about what happened at the baptism, rather than a description of the events itself. The writer of Matthew's gospel does something profound in that slight shift. He takes what can be seen as an individual moment between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he opens it up. The focus becomes not simply on Jesus, but on what God announces. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The crowd witnessed it, and we too witness it every time we read the story. And what we see and hear is a confirmation of the mystery of Christmas. This is the incarnation of Jesus that is found in all four of our Gospels, an announcement of the implementation of the reign of God. Martin Luther said that baptism is something that is done in church one day, but takes a lifetime to complete. That was certainly true for Jesus. His baptism, in a very real way, began his ministry. While we have a few stories about him up until that point, it is this event in all four Gospels that launches his ministry, leading him to be tempted in the desert, leading him to teaching and preaching, to healing and to calling together a community of disciples. As Episcopal theologian Verna Dozier said, "With his baptism, Jesus' ministry commenced." And in Matthew, we have a glimpse of the underlying framework of that ministry, of that inbreaking of the reign of God's mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation in this broken world. Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. These are the words that Jesus said in response to John's hesitation to baptize him. Righteousness. It is a theme that is found throughout Matthew and also Isaiah, as the passage chosen for today illustrates beautifully. For them, righteousness is experienced as compassionate justice and care for the poor and the marginalized, and it fits into the broader themes that consistently appear in both, such as humility and faithfulness that always point to God as the one who is at work transforming and reconciling the world. Our passage from Isaiah is from what is known as the First Servant Song. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Throughout history, Christians have viewed the servant in Isaiah as Jesus. And indeed, the words spoken by Jesus at his baptism would have evoked this image to those who witnessed it. But what if, just like his baptism, was more than an individual moment, but one shared by all throughout through the announcement of the voice from heaven? What if the fulfillment of all righteousness points to the servant being bigger than one person too? What if we, the church, are the servant? That would mean that Martin Luther had it right, that our baptisms were not a one-time sacrament that we may or may not even remember, but instead are an invitation into a way of life, a summons to join the work of bringing forth the reign of God, a promise to spread the light of Christ. It would mean that our baptism, just like Jesus's own, is the start of our ministry, our call to fulfill righteousness. What a daunting task. How is it that we are to continue the work of fulfilling all righteousness? For me, the starting place is twofold: the baptismal covenant and the support of community. The baptismal covenant. I can't think of a clearer way to express faith or my identity as a Christian than in those few short statements. What begins with the Apostles' Creed becomes so much more than a statement of faith when we consider the five affirmations that follow. Will you continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? That is how we are each called to live as servants in this world. That is how all righteousness will be fulfilled. They show us how we are to participate in the reign of God. And to each of those affirmations, we respond, I will, with God's help. But not only God's help, because we also have the support of community, those around us and the greater cloud of witnesses, all of those who have been baptized before us. The image that I have in my mind when I think of this community, this household of God, is that of ever-expanding light. When we tell the story of baptism and godly play, we give each child in the circle a candle that has been lit from the Christ candle, a candle that's akin to our own Paschal candle that we use at Easter's and at baptisms. And as we hand them the candle, we say to them, remember the day of your baptism. And as we give out more and more candles, we continue, look, the light is growing bigger and bigger. But look, the light that all that light is coming from, the Christ candle, is not growing smaller. I wonder how so much light can come from one light. How indeed. It is a mystery. It is the incarnation. Each of us is a light, all shining forth the light of Christ. But we are never alone, just as even Jesus was never alone. He showed us the way, he gave us the light. He pulled together community, and we, all of us, have the Holy Spirit, too. Where is it that your light shines the brightest? Where is the Holy Spirit blowing in your life? What is your call to servant ministry? These are the questions that we must each ponder and pray about as we encounter baptism again. And this is why, whenever we gather for another baptism, like we are for Pearls today, it's always about us as well. It is a time for those who have been baptized to reaffirm their call to servanthood and ministry. It's a time for those who have not yet been baptized to pray about what it would mean for them to enter into that sacramental way of life. And it's a time for all of us to celebrate the incarnation, the mystery of the Word made flesh, God dwelling among us and through us, an event that truly shows forth the love of God for all creation. Amen.